Oh, Chevron.
You read it?
No. Norito Chevron. No, I didn't see it. Okay.
That's not a good message.
We'll see. We'll find out.
No, it's interesting. You okay. Talk about the noise you make on Purim, but it's appropriate to shul.
Uh-huh.
So he brings a
riot
from here, but sometimes it's...
Noise is okay. Okay. Okay, and let's go. We are today's daf is daf lamed in Tamid, so we should be at the third parak today. We're going to get to the third parak in just a moment. We have a little bit to finish up from the second parak of Tamid, and I think it's our last gemara that we're going to see. I think this is it. I think once we enter the third parak of Tamid, it's just Mishnayos.
There's a little more.
There's more coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I told you. I could be wrong. Here we go. I see. Okay. You're correct. Okay. The Gemara today, we start with the two dots. certain woods were not used. Olive wood was not used, and wood from a vine, from a grapevine, is not used. All other woods were used as acceptable fuel. And then the Mishnah went and listed, you know, the preferred woods, so to say. But really, the Mishnah tells us that all woods are good. Honey, my timer. Why are these woods no good? Why is the Geffen wood no good? Why is the Zayit wood no good? So the Gemara goes on to bring down two opinions. We're in the middle of Chavtes Amud Beis. Rav Papa Amar Mishum de Katari. So Rav Papa says because of Katre. Now, Katre. So what does that mean exactly? So the Rush offers a couple of explanations. Hold on a second. Let me get my bearings. Okay, so the Rush is right as the lines get wide. It's right in the middle of that wide paragraph. So Geffen v'zayis my time lo mishum diktari. So the Rush writes yesh by miksharim umotziim sham mayin ve'im is yafshin yafe v'gam in mchalakim kedamina beperakitz ad stolen. So Kevin is be ksharim maske maya. Okay, so the Rush gives one explanation. That's the following. It's got knots in it. The word katari in Aramaic comes from the same word as kesher, kesharim, and they have knots in it. And these woods are knotty woods, and therefore they have an accumulation of water inside these knots. And so what happens is you try to use them for fuel, and obviously you're going to be frustrated by the fact that the knots that have water in them are not going to be a good fuel-firing wood. Okay, that's pshat number one in the Rush. He offers another pshat as well. Lishna achrina ketari ma'alim ashen harbei. Ketari can also mean smoke. Kitur, right? Allah Kitur. So Kitur could also mean smoke, and the Rush says that another possible shot is that they're very smoky. And I'm sorry, before I move on to the Rush, and so that means then that the problem with that is that it's a good fuel, it's just, it's not clean. It's not a clean fuel. So it produces too much smoke, and we're outside, by the way, we're not inside, but still, it's not going to be good. The Eastigarsi Mishum Dikatme. And then the Rush says, as a third possible pshat, but it's not really a third possible pshat, it's really different gears altogether. In the Mishnah, it's katmei. Osin efer meruba. And actually, the word kitum means ashes. Remember the third parak of Shabbos? Right? Grufa uketuma. Right? You lay a thin layer of ashes over the coals if you want to leave food on the fire on Shabbos. So anyway, so that's the... it produces too much ashes. So what's wrong with that? Ve'ein laharbos efer mimnei torach hotzah. It creates a tremendous amount of work for the Kohanim.
Well, he talks about how much there was.
Right, correct, more. Correct. So more ashes, more work for the Kohanim. So that's the third possible pshat. Okay, so let's go with the knots. You'll see the knots, the first pshat on the Rush. Let's say it like that. So again, back to the Gemara. Papa mishum dekatre, because it has too much knots in it, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to burn well. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar mishum yishuv de Eretz Yisrael. Gemara gives another explanation of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Israel's resources, right? Israel needs its resources, and now what? And now we're going to take the grapevine and the olive tree, and we're now going to have to use that for not only the Nesachim, and not only for just the general population, but we're also going to use that wood for the fuel for the Mizbeach. So you know what? We want to save some of the resources of Israel. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, Alaitzim Asher Alaish, Eitzim Anasuchim Lios Eish. Oh, my Nihu, so the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Now this Brisa over here, Basically, this price is going to be the same discussion that we just had, meaning what wood is acceptable. So the brisa starts off, Eitzim Asher Ala Eish, it links Eitz with Eish, meaning wood fire, firewood. Okay? Eitzim Hanitochim Lios Eish. We want wood that basically gets reduced to fire real quickly. Right? Anyone who ever plays around with... Yeah, anyone who ever plays around with coals. So you know, the good coals are the ones that like turn into fire right away, like that light nicely, and really heat. And some coals are just not good. We want the coals that really turn into a fire. Umay nihu. So the what are they? Dukri shapod de lo katre. We want pieces of wood without katarim. Mm-hmm. So let's say without knots. Good. That's what the Brisa says. Va'azla mekatre mitocha. V'chi kol ha'itim k'sherim la'maracha. Now, are all woods acceptable for the maracha? Again, it's the same thing we had that in the Mishnah. It's like a question and answer. Are all woods good? Answer? Hein. Yeah. Kol ha'itim k'sherim? Yes. Chutz min hazayis v'gefen, ava be'ela yirigilim. Now, even though we just said that all woods are good, and we did exclude olive and grapes, like grapevines, like we did back in the Mishnah, but then the Brisa goes over, like we did in the Mishnah, the preferred woods. And they are Murbio Shal Te'ena, fig trees, Vishal Elgos, walnut, Vishal E Shemen, oil tree. Again, I don't know what that is. Rabbi Lazar Mosif. Now, Rabbi Lazar adds some trees as well. He adds Shal Maish, the Maish tree. Do I know what the Maish tree is? No. I'm in good company. The Rush also doesn't know what it is. Vishal Alon, Vishal Dekel. Palm tree, Vishal Chiruv, sycamore, Vishal Shikma, I think that's sycamore. Okay, so in other words, the Rabbi Lazar has a whole bunch of other trees that make the preferred list. Now, Bishlam Lamandar Mishim Dekashre Ba'akamifli. Now, the Gemara says, look, we clearly have a machlokus in this brisa between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. Now, if the issue is Kitarim, the issue is knots in the wood, I get it. Because Marsav Alpha Gavdalo Kitarim, because Megavai came to Kitarim Brai, Lo Maisinan. The machlokus over here is internal knots versus external knots. Now, I don't know my trees very well, and I don't know my knots very well in my trees, but apparently, some trees have knots internally, and some trees have knots only externally, and Mar Savar Kema Delo Kachu Migavai Afagav Demivrai Kachu Maisinan. And that could be the machlokis over here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer, whether it only has external knots, but it doesn't have internal knots, whether or not that qualifies. Fine. At least we can formulate a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar. But if you want to tell me that the issue over here is saving Israel's resources, meaning we don't want to use olives and we don't want to use grapevines because we want to save them. Not save them, but in other words, you know.
Good luck in Brazil, taking on all the trees.
Right, they're needed for the people, and we don't want to use it for the Mizbeach. So Yishev Eretz Yisrael, Dekel Milaislay Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael. But let me ask you a simple question: what about Dekel? Dekel's a palm tree. Palm trees produce dates. And so, if you're worried about saving Israel's resources, so don't touch the palm tree. Palm trees we need for dates. So I'm lachav l'tamech teina leisbe Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, look, why did it take you to get to Rabbi Eliezer before this bothered you? Meaning, even when we were in the position of the Tanakama, should have bothered you right there. Because what the Tanakama say, Tanakama says, you know what trees I like? I like fig trees. Fig trees, if the whole issue is saving Israel's resources, so don't touch the fig tree. Right? Save the olive tree, save the grapevines, save the fig trees. What are you doing touching the fig trees? So the Gemara says, okay, when we say te'ena, we mean the fig trees that don't produce figs, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be touching them. And when we say day tree, palm tree, we mean palm trees that don't produce dates. Right? We live in Florida. We know from that. Right? That's all around us. The Gemara says, such a thing? Really, such a tree? A fig tree that doesn't produce fruit. In the Gemara says there is such a thing, kederachva. These next five lines of Gemara are nearly impossible. Just about. So I'll try. And this is basically, you see the Rush. The Rush is going to basically say what I'm saying. Kederachma dama rachva. Now Rachva is going to describe the method in which we're able to, I guess, sterilize. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. But basically, sterilize the fig tree. It doesn't produce figs, and meanwhile, the wood that it produces is fantastic. Maisi te'ina chivrata, we bring a white fig tree. Okay, different types of fig trees, white versus black. Vishayfaluhu bechavla. Now we rub it with a rope. That's what, literally what those words mean. Ditzavta disrich aleha bizra. until the bark comes off. Vikavri, and we bury, meaning I guess we take the shoots and we put them into the ground. Heichi demasek yamisirton. Now you can't plant them anywhere, but you have to plant them where the ocean deposits its sediment. Right? Masik yamisirton. Yam is the ocean and sirton is the sediment. Kora avda, perilo avda. Now it produces fantastic wood and it produces no fruit at this point in time.
Isn't this like two issues? Wasn't this Balatashki?
Like sterilizing a tree? Yeah, right. Essentially, yes. Utlas berich minayu lamechaz galu gamla. Right, and if I were to take gamla or namla, I can go either way. Anyway, but if you took three of these branches of this now sterilized fig tree, and you try to take it over the bridge, writes the Rush, the bridge will collapse. That's how strong these trees actually are. And anyway, the point, the larger point is, yes, there is a fig tree that doesn't produce fig. Cedar samaracha gedola maitaima revhun of revchista. Now, if you remember, we have now the main fire. Okay, how many bonfires on the top of the mizbech? So I tried to convince you yesterday there were three. Some of you actually believe me. Now, the Mishnah only describes two, so that makes my three, a tough sell. But nevertheless, though, the Gemara in Yuma, right, brings down a machlokas, how many there are. The Rambam says that there are three on the very top. So the main one is to the east, and the main one is where we're going to burn all the limbs of the carbon tamid and all the other carbonates that were brought over the course of that day. And if you remember the Mishnah said it had a window to the east. The bonfire had a window to the east. Now, do I know exactly what that means? No. But the Gemara is going to discuss it, and so for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about things I don't know what I'm talking about. Cedar samaracha gedola maitaima, what is the reason? The Gemara's question is over here, what is the reason that we put the window to the east? Because that's where the wind is blowing. The wind is blowing from the east. And so therefore, it produces a nice circulation of air, like a bellow. And so that the fire is going to increase and grow. And so that's why the window of this bonfire is placed to the east. It's a great place to deposit the kindling. Remember, the Kohanim are walking around the perimeter of the Mizbeach, so that means that from their perspective, they're looking at the east side of the bonfire. So they want to add kindling. So where they're going to add it, they're going to add it from the east. To ask the Kohen to walk to the center of the Mizbeach, that's not good news. That would be dangerous. So to remain around the perimeter. And they want to add kindling, so therefore you want to put the window. Apparently, it meant a place where you could just simply add and insert the kindling. So, So the Gemara says, okay, that's fine. However, let's go back to the mission that we learned yesterday's daf. Kindling are placed between the logs. Meaning, remember, we discussed how there were two logs that were placed daily in order to get the fire going and to keep the fire going. And remember, the Mishnah said that we leave space, or revach, between the two logs, and so that we put the kindling between the two logs. So what are you talking about? The east windows for where the kindling goes, when we learned in yesterday's Mishnayos in Tamid that the kindling goes between the wood. So Amalacham Mekamos Avdei. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? The kindling goes between the logs. The kindling also is inserted into the eastern window of the bonfire. Mekamos. Hadrolach Ra'uha Echav. That is the end of the second parak, and now we begin the third parak. Now the third parak, I'll say this. Through the window.
Not on the window.
I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure what this window is. We start now the third parak of Tamid, and with the beginning of the third parak of Tamid, so I will say this definitively, although I've been so incorrect in terms of whether there is more Gemara coming up, there isn't more Gemara coming up. In the third parak, there is no Gemara. How about that? and let me be right at least just once. Okay, there's no Gemara. There's no Gemara in the third parak. It's just Mishnayos. And we're going to go through these Mishnayos, and these Mishnayos are going to be covering now, basically, the continuation, next chapter of the story. So where are we now in terms of the morning? So, we woke up already, early. We did an inspection of the Azara. Prior to the inspection, you remember that we already did a lottery. We took a lottery. And that first lottery was to establish who's going to do the mitzvah of the Trumas Hadeshen. The removal of one shovel full of ash from the top of the Mizbeach. Then we walked out from the Beis HaMokad into the Azara. And we did a perimeter inspection of the Azara. Kohanim would be, two groups of Kohanim would be walking around. One clockwise, the other counterclockwise. They then met each other right by the Lishka of the Oseh Chavitin, which is from the inside, it's to the right of the Nicanor gate, looking from the inside. And once they got there, then the one Kohen did the Trumas Hadeshen, where first he would go to the other side of the ramp, the west side of the ramp, and he'd wash his hands and his feet, the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. And then he would do the mitzvah of the Trumas Hadeshen, where he would take the shovel, go up the ramp, take one shovel full of ashes, go down from the ramp, walk 10 amas along the eastern side of the ramp, and deposit it from 3 tefachim away from the ramp. He would deposit that one shovel full of ash. Then, Kohanim would come out from the Beis HaMokad, and we described in the second parak how they would go up to the top of the Mizbeach and set up the top of the Mizbeach. All limbs that weren't burned from yesterday, they put on the side. They still kept it on the Mizbeach. We don't want Lina. We don't want them disqualified through Lina. So they put them on the side of the Mizbeach. And they set up the main ash pile and the bonfire to the right, to the east, to the main bonfire. And the bonfire and the maracha for the Ketores. And there was also a reserve bonfire as well, which the Mishnah does not describe. Okay, and now we're ready. Now we're ready for the Karban Tamid. Okay, so this is it. We are now in the middle, in the heart of the Masechta. And we're now at where we want to be, which is now the actual Karban Tamid. Amar Lama Mamuna. So first of all, who does it? Who's going to be doing the Karban Tamid? So once again, the assignment is going to be done via lottery. Now, where are they for this lottery? Do you remember? So we talked about this at the end of the last mission. Now they're now in the Lishka Sagazis. So if you like to know where the Lishka Sagazis is, so you could look up at the big board. And the Lishka Sagazis is going to be in the... I'm getting the hang of this, even though everything's upside down. Oh, the it's in the northeast corner. No, just getting the hang of it. It's in the northeast corner of the Azara. Right, the Lishka Sagazis, some of it's in the Azara, some of it is not in the Azara. Okay, but it was its own room. Who sat in the Lishka Sagazis? Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin Hagadol sat in the Lishka Sagazis. Obviously, they're not there now, right? So Sanhedrin's not in session. It's too early in the morning for the Sanhedrin. But the Kohanim would go there. Why would they go to the Lishka Sagazis? So a couple of explanations were given. I don't know if we said this. Number one, we go to the Lishka Sagazis because we're going to do a new lottery, which we're about to read about right now. And in this lottery, they stood around in a circle. And that means some people would have their back to the Beis HaMikdash. Not a preferred position. And so therefore we go into Lishka Sagazis. Okay, did we give another explanation? Meaning because for the lottery they all stood in a circle. So someone's going to have their back to the Beis HaMikdash. So once they go into Lishka Sagazis, it's its own room. So therefore, okay. Amar Lahem HaMamuna. So now again, we have our point man. Right, the Sagan, some sort of appointed agent who now is going to be doing this lottery. Heifisu, bove heifisu, mia shochet. So now jobs are going to be given out. A number of jobs are going to be given out. Now we learned this back in Yuma. There's one winner to the lottery. Meaning, first of all, how did the lottery work? You remember they stuck out a finger, either one finger or two fingers, not the godel, not the thumb. Okay, no hitchhiking with the thumb. Okay, no thumb. Just one finger or two fingers. And in Israel, by the way, you know, when you hitchhike, which I don't recommend, even though when I was young I did it, but... So, with the finger, not with the thumb. So anyway, so the one finger, two fingers, and then the Mamuna would have a number, and he would start counting. And then based on, you know, like any lottery, based on a little bit of luck and I guess, some counting skills. So you were then going to be selected as a winner. There was really only one winner. And then what happened is that after the winner has been identified, then all the other jobs are basically going to be assigned to the Kohen, who's next to the winner, who's next to that person, meaning we're just going to simply go down the circle, and we're going to count out. I think there's over a dozen jobs that are going to be handed out. What number did they use?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but because everyone would stick out two fingers because you have double the chances, or am I missing?
Well,
it all depends on where you start counting from.
Right, it all depends on where you start counting from and what the number actually is. In other words, by you sticking out two fingers, it's true you have double the chance, but it also means your two fingers are going to take up two numbers. So now, once the number goes by you, so that's it. Now you slowed it down. All right. Listen, you speak to a statistician. Okay. For this, it's possible. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Amala mamamuna bo v'yifisu miya shochet. So the first thing is we're going to decide and determine who's going to be the shochet. Rabbi Kornfeld brings a very interesting discussion down. Why the kohen here is going to be doing the shechita. So he asks a very simple question. We don't need a kohen to do the shechita. Right? A non-kohen could do the shechita. Remember, shechita, even though it's part of the avoda, but the zar could do the shechita. So why is
You have to be in the
azar. Okay, so the simple response is that it's early in the morning and you have to be in the azara, and you know, this is kohen hour. Right. Right, okay, so why, in other words, it's clear from our Mishnah that this job was assigned only to a Kohen, and the question is simply why? Why is it only assigned to Kohanim? Why not offer it up maybe, you know, maybe as a sponsorship, maybe as a dedicable, you know.
Right, exactly.
Okay, fine.
Right.
He quotes a Meiri, it's very interesting, a Meiri from Yuma. He quotes a Meiri, and he says that the carbon tamid needs a kohen, meaning it's a chiddush that when it comes to all other karbanos, so by all other karbanos, so you don't obviously you can have a non kohen shech, but when it comes to the carbon tamid, so the carbon tamid lichatchila b'diavad it would work even if it was a non kohen that did it, but lichatchila the carbon tamid, which was the first avoda of the day. Right, I know we had the Trumas Hadeshim, but the Trumas Hadeshim, remember I described this as being like a bridge between yesterday and today. But really, the Karban Tamid is the first avoda of the day. And so therefore, it's almost like an inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash every day. So therefore, even though Shechita is normally acceptable by non-Kohen, but here, specifically, has to be a Kohen. Okay. Interesting. So first of all, we establish who's going to shech the Karban Tamid. Mi Azorek. Who's going to be sprinkling the blood of the carbon tamid? Mi midashen, mizbeach apanim, mi midashen es menorah. Now, again, this is not all the same guys I described. As we go down the list now in this Mishnah, so once we establish who the shochet is, now we go to his right, and we say, okay, now you're going to be the one who does Rika. And we keep pointing down the list, and you're going to be the one doing the Disha Mizbeach apanimi. You get to clean the inner Mizbeach. I know that doesn't sound exciting, but it's an avoda, it's a mitzvah. So you get to clean the inner mizbeach. Remember, the inner mizbeach, you had the ketores burning on it yesterday. So obviously now there's a pile of ashes on the inner mizbeach. You get to clean it. Mi midashin, it's a menorah. Who gets to clean out the menorah? Mi male evarim. Lekevish. Who's going to bring up the limbs? Remember, the carbon tamid is carbon olam. So that means that we're going to cut it up into pieces, and we're going to bring it up the whole thing onto the mizbech and have the whole thing burned on the mizbech, as we do by every carbon ola. So mimala evarim lekevish harosh veharegel shel yamin. So one kohen is going to bring up the head and the back right leg. Okay, it was cut up into large pieces. Right, meaning so the head was a piece unto itself and the back right leg. Right, and the kohen would be holding one piece in his right hand and the other piece in his left hand. Shtei hayadayim. The next kohen would be holding the two front legs. Ha'ukitz v'haregel. The next kohen would be holding the tail and the back left leg. A regel shall small. The next kohen ha'chazeh v'hagera would be holding the chest and the gera, and the neck of the animal. Ushtei defanos. The next kohen would be holding the two flanken. Ha'kirbayim Ha-kirbayim, the next Kohen would be holding the kirbayim, the intestines of the animal. Ha-solus, the next Kohen would be holding the flour. Flour, what flour are we talking about? Nesachim, right? By every carbon there's Nesachim. The carbonola has Nesachim, so therefore flour is going up. Ha-chavitin, the next Kohen would be holding the chavitin, that would be the mincha of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Kohen Gadol, interestingly enough, does not bring it up, meaning it is a Kohen, I'm sorry, it is a mincha on behalf of the Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol does not necessarily need to bring it up. Hayayin, and then the last Kohen would be bringing up the wine. Okay? And the wine, of course, is for the Nesachim. Okay. Well, that's it. Meaning, just the morning. This is just for the Tamishel Shachar. The Chavitim was divided. Half of it was offered in the morning, and half of it was offered in the afternoon. Hefisu Zachar Mashmisha Zachar. So they did a lottery, and by the way, remember this is their second lottery of the morning. So Hefisu Zachar Mashmisha Zachar Amalehem Tzuru Imigias Manshchita. Okay, go and see. Have we yet arrived at the time of Shchita? Okay. Now, remember, the carbon time
could go and see him. There was a day you could definitely.
Right. So, get to that in just a second. Higir's manshchita. Im higir roa amar barkai. So, what would he announce? Meaning, what would be the declaration when it was early enough in order to shech the carbon tamid? So, barkai from the word barak, which means lightning. He's not looking for lightning, but he's looking for daylight. Okay. Masi ben Shmuel amar heir penei kol hamizrach. The eastern skylight is lit. Okay, now, so what he's looking for, obviously, in other words, if the sun already has risen, so you don't need somebody to be on the lookout. You don't need like a scout for that. But basically, what we need to see is basically the time of dawn. Right? Dawn already now is the first opportunity that you can actually shecht. Remember, our davening times that we do all is in synchronicity with the time of the Shechting and Karban Tamid. So what's the earliest time for davening? The earliest time for davening is Amar HaShachar. Well, Nates is a preferred time. Right. But the earliest time that you could daven is Amar HaShachar. So basically that's what we're looking for. What is Amar HaShachar? When the eastern horizon is lit. Meaning that it's still dark outside, but if you look to the east, you'll see that the eastern sky at least is lit in anticipation of the rising of the sun. Now, here's a strange part of the Mishnah. And that is, Achahu Bechevron, can you see Chevron? Presumably that's what it means. Vehu Amar, and his response is going to be, Hain, yes, I could see Chevron. Okay.
Who were the Vatikin? At which point did they
doubt?
Nates. Vasikin is Nates. That's Nates Acham. That's sunrise. That's a preferred time to daven. But that we're not talking about preferred time, we're talking about earliest time. Okay. We all know the Gemara in Bracha says, why Chevron? Meaning we're looking to connect. Meaning, yes, physically we're looking to see Chevron. Is Chevron visible from Yerushalayim? I'm not the right person to ask. But the Chevron over here from a position of Drush means that we're looking for zchus avos to be added to the carbon tamid. So, Ajo bechaveh homerhein. Amalem tzu veheviu tlem lishkas atalayim. Okay, so go now to the chamber where we keep the sheep. How many sheep are we keeping over there? You remember? So, right? Six. Say, right? Six. Six sheep that are kept in the lishkas atalayim. Where is the lishkas atalayim? So, in the Beis HaMokad, once again, we're back in the Beis HaMokad, right? A lot of activity in the Beis HaMokad. And back in the Beis HaMokad, which is the northern end of the Azara. So, in the Beis HaMokad, now there was a large fire in the center of the Beis HaMokad, where the Kohanim would warm up his feet to that fire. But additional to that, in the four corners of the Beis HaMokad, you now had, it serviced four different areas. And they would sleep also in the Beis HaMokad as well. Now, in the northwest corner of the Beis HaMokad, this is the area now where you're going to have the sheep. Sheep are located in the northwest corner. That's a side, just so that we're all on the same page, that's the side of the Beis HaMokad that's not in the Azara, that's the side of the Beis HaMokad that's in the Har Habayis. Now, the Mishnah here is going to go on a little bit of a detour. Meaning, as long as we're in the Beis HaMokad, as long as we're describing one of the four rooms, so why not describe the other three rooms? Achas Lishkas Atalim. So one of them is Lishkas Atalim. Now, at this point, I don't know where we are geographically in the Beis HaMokad. Meaning, are we going in a clockwise or clockwise? Counterclockwise. Which way are we doing?
Which one did you just say?
Machlokas, huh? Where are we right now? We're here in the Beis HaMokad.
I understand.
We just described the northwest corner, right? So Lishkas Atlamim v'acha Lishkas HaChosamos. Now another room in the Beis HaMokad of the four corners is the Lishkas HaChosamos. Do you remember your Mishnayos and Shkalim? I just learned it with my son, so that's why for me it's readily available. Give me another month. So, but in the Lishkas HaChosamos, that's where receipts were given out.
In this picture, for the Chamber of the Lambs, right?
Uh-huh.
It's actually inside the Azor. It's not outside. It's not in the northwest corner. It's actually it's 38. That's a mistake.
I don't think it's a mistake. I think he knows what he's doing.
So this is where they put it. 41 is Lishkas Beit HaMoked.
Okay.
41 was the
stairway
going down.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, so I don't know how to... Okay. Lishkas Shosim, I'm sorry. Lishkas Beis HaMokad? Not yet. Lishkas HaChosamos. So Mishnah Shkalim tells us that when you wanted to buy Nesachim, meaning you bought your animal, but you figure your Nesachim you'll buy in Yerushalayim, so they had a system. It was like anytime you go to the carnival... And you get the tickets, and you redeem the tickets. So they use that system, whatever they use. That's the system they used. So what you do is you would buy a receipt, and then you would hand in your receipt, and then you would get the nesachim. Where were these nesachim being kept? In the Lishkas HaChosamos. I'm sorry, that's where the receipts were being kept. Achas Lishkas Beis HaMokad. The other one was Lishka of the Beis HaMokad, where they had another fire in that room, and that's where the stairway was to go down to the mikvah, like we described earlier in the Masechta. V'achas lishka shosem bo lechem aponim. And finally, the last one was the lishka in which they made the lechem aponim for the shulchan. Okay. Nichnesu l'lishkas akelim. Now, so we have, we're back to the story. Back to narration. So we now have identified who's going to do all the jobs for the Karban Tamid. Every single one of the Kohanim that are going to be involved and assigned for the Avoda of the Karban Tamid. And now we go out. And so we go out and we go to the Lishkas HaKelim, the Chamber of Kelim. Okay, identify where that is.
No, I couldn't.
Okay.
The question, it says the Garmo family is the only family that did the baking.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they monopolized it. There were two monopolies in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know where it is. Hotzio Misham Tisha Vishloshim Kli Kesev Klezav. They took out 93. Okay, what's the significance of that number? I'm curious. They took out 93 of the Kalim, silver and gold Kalim. The Hishkos Atamid Bekoshal Zav. And they hydrated the animal before we shechted it. We talked about this already before, yesterday's daf. Right? The question. Sorry. Question we asked was, is this a guzma, this an exaggeration? Really, meaning really a golden cup in order to hydrate the animal? And we had a debate. We had a debate yesterday in the Gemara whether or not this was guzma or not a guzma. Now, even though it was examined already, meaning part of the reason why the sheep was placed in this room is because it was pre-examined. But even though it was pre-examined, we're going to examine it again. Now, this examination is not going to be good as the examination done previously, because previously we had daylight. We don't have daylight right now. It is still early in the morning. There's no sunlight right now, so the examination was done by the fire. Now, Misha Zachar B'Dishon Mizbech HaPanim V'Dishon HaMenorah Hayu Makdimim. Now, the first people that would go out were the people who were doing the cleanup work, cleanup assignment in the Beis HaMikdash. So now what that would mean is that they're going to have to go into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Dishon HaMizbech HaPanim, the Dishon HaMenorah, the removal of the ashes off the inner mizbech and the removal of the ashes of the menorah, hayu makdimim, so they would go in first, vidal kelim biyadam. Now, in order to do their job, they would take four kelim. Hateni v'hakuzu shnei maftechos. So they would take a basket, teni from the same word as tena, right? From remember from Bikurim. And a kuz is like a jug. And they would need two keys. Now, Can we explain all four of these, Kalim? Very simply, yeah. The two keys were in order to get in there. Okay, and we're going to explain in just a moment why you need two keys in order to get in there. The tent of the basket, that's where the ashes of the Mizbech were swept into. And the Kuz is where the ashes of the menorah were placed into. Now, Hateni Dome LeTarkav Shel Zahav. Now, the teni, the basket, was like a golden tarkav. Tarkav is a utensil that held three kabin. Tarkav is a contraction of two words. It's tar and kav. It could be confusing, right? You could read it as two kabin, but no, it's tar meaning two kavim and one kav, so that means three kabin in total. Okay, how much coals were placed on the mizbech hazav the previous night? Everyone remember? So we said three. Three kabin of coals. So this utensil that was used to take the ashes and pile the ashes from yesterday could hold tarkav shozav machzi kabayim v'chetzi. It holds 2.5 kabin, meaning the utensil itself was the size of three kabin. So obviously they've got to leave a little bit of room for the material. So it was able to hold 2.5. Well, why don't we need it to hold three? So I guess because after you burn, so the ashes aren't as much as the original coals that were placed there. And the kuz looks like a big golden jug. Now we need two keys to get in. Okay. We're going in. Now in order to go in, so, right, we are now, we started the base of Mocha, sorry, we're here. We're going to go up the steps. Now, the ulam, that was the foyer, right? A large antechamber. There's no doorway over there, so you just walk right into the ulam. There's a debate whether the ulam has a status of the Beis HaMikdash or has the status of the Azara. Either way, you walk into the ulam. And now, we're going to go into the Heichal. Now, these doors
are...
What
did they bring into the Heichal?
Huh?
What did they bring in to get?
They brought in a jug... The basket and two keys. Two keys. What? How are we getting in there? These doors do not open from the outside. These doors are bolted and can only be opened by the inside. Okay. So if those doors can only be opened by the inside, so how do you get inside? So watch carefully over here. There are two entrances: the south and the north. We walked in through the north, and then we walked in through this side door over here. These are offices. They're called ta'im. Taj for singular. Tuf Aleph. And so they walked into here. Walked into here. Now there was a key that got you in here. Another key that got you in here. Now you're in the Heichal. And now that they're in the Heichal, they can open the doors from the inside, which the Mishnah is about to describe. Now, just so you understand, just a simple pshat on the Mishnah, this doorway over here, to get from the Ulam into that office, so it was a very interesting contraption. I don't fully understand it. But in order to open it with a key, you had to stick your arm all the way into the wall. Meaning, apparently, the latch, whatever the key is using to unlock is not right there in front of you. But you have to stick your arm all the way in. Maybe from the inside. Maybe you're describing it from the inside. Yeah. So that's what the Mishnah means.
Like the scorpion
key. Right. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says that it's ara shechi. Right, the Kohen is his arm is basically now being swallowed up, so that his armpit's going up against the door, in order to get into the office, and then from the office into the Heichal. So there, it's just a simple lock and key.
When you come to the shul, from the lago,
yeah.
You don't know the combination.
Right, so you stick your arm in. Yeah, I know.
Do it.
You're beautiful.
So that's why they put a fence there. Right? Sometimes I forgot the combination. Just put your hand through and open from the inside.
Right.
Yeah. Your arms are long enough to do it.
He's. Kevin Balo Lefishvesh, that's funny now. I'm sorry, I skipped a line of Mishnah. Echad shehu yorid ba'ama shech ve'echad shehu poseach. I'm sorry, echad shehu poseach kivein. One with a simple lock and key. Bala lepishpesh, that's funny. Now, the Mishnah over here makes no bones about it. There are two side doors to get into it. There's a north and there's a south. Nobody goes through the south. I know that sounds mysterious. I know it's going to sound even better in just a moment. Meaning the two side entrances into the Heichal. So one to the north, which as you're facing from the outside means to the right, and one to the south, which is to the left. Nobody goes into the left. Once to the north and once to the south. No Adam goes in through that one. Now the Mishnah is very specific about the language of the choice of words it uses. Now we're going to turn to Sefer Yecheskel to describe. Now remember, Yecheskel spent most of his time describing not the second temple, but the third temple. Right, correct. But we're going to assume, though, however, that there are certain features that the second and third temple are going to share. Structurally, they're not the same. There are differences. I'm barely an expert on the second one. I'm not. But in other words, I know the second one a little bit. I don't know the third one. But nevertheless, the Gemara is going to assume that the feature they have shared features, which is notably Shenamar, Vayomer Elai Hashem, Hashar Zeh Sagur Yelo Yiftach V'Ish Al Yavo Bo. Okay, the Ahaya Sagur. Okay, the pasuk in Yecheskel describes that this southern entrance no man goes through. And it describes actually Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Babo. Kadosh Baruch Hu goes through that door. Now, I don't know what that means, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is not.
Not a door I would go.
Right, correct. Whatever the pasuk means, however you understand the pasuk, difficult to translate, but whatever it means simply we don't go through the south door. If you go through Sefer Yecheskel, and again, it's not my expertise, but if you go through it, you'll see Yecheskel is always being described as Ben Adam. Right? So it's interesting that the Mishnah over here says, Lo Nichnas Bo Adam. Right? Like, in other words, it's not for Yecheskel, meaning it's for okay, whatever all this means. So Vahayasagor Natos Avtech Basakhas Bishbesh Venichnas Lehata. So what the Kohen now does is he goes in through the northern entrance, and again the northern side door goes into the office of Mehata Lehechal. And from this office he now goes into the Hechal Al Magir Shar Gadol. Now he's at the main entrance, from the inside obviously. He gil ashar hagadol, and now when he gets it, hey virus anagar. Now he opens it. There are bolts from the inside, so he unlatches the bolts.
That means his back is to the wrong.
Yeah, you're right, but he's got to open the door. Maybe from the side. Okay, it's a good point. Lo haya shochet ashochet ad sheshomer shar gadol sheniftach mi. I'm sorry, sheshomer shar gadol sheniftach. So the we would not check the carbon tamid until the opening of the Shar HaGadol, until the opening of the excuse me.
That means somebody had to be standing outside to say it's now open.
Well, presumably it could be seen. Meaning the entrance to the Ulam was very big. Oh. The entrance to the Ulam was 20 by 40 amos. So presumably you know when it's opened up.
20 by 40.
That's
40. 25 by 40 is also the parochus as well. That's correct.
40 wide and 20 tall?
40.
Yeah.
No, 40 tall and 20 wide.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And the parochus was 40.
And the parochus also was 40 by 20, but the parochus was a curtain for the entire.
Right.
For the entire Heichal. The entrance to the Ulam was the same width as the Heichal. As the width of the Heichal. Okay.
So it was only 20 amos.
The entrance to the Heichal was only 10 by 20. All doorways were 10 by 20.
Yeah.
Right, except for the entrance to the Ulam. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Ulam was 40 tall and 20 wide, right?
Right. So
the Prochus are also 40 tall?
Huh?
The Prochus are 40 tall and 20 wide?
The Prochus was it again?
The
parochus was 40 by 20.
40 tall.
40 tall and 20 wide. Correct. Okay. Okay. And apparently, now I guess they didn't grease the hinges, but when they opened up the doors to the Heichal, it could be heard. Now, how far could it be heard from? So, So they heard it all the way in Yericho. Now, who's gone to Yericho? I remember really, really years ago. Years ago, I went to Yericho. Now, right, so it's a long way away. Now, right, is this a guzma? It's interesting.
Yeah, but there wasn't anything in the way. It's
interesting because now, right, we already discussed what is an exaggeration in the Mishnah.
But 30 and, miles at least.
Yeah, and it's hard to understand, it's hard to imagine that the... That we can hear it all the way. Now I didn't mention this earlier in the perek, but we don't have a rush on this perek. Okay, the rush took a break from this perek.
They didn't have
the rush.
They didn't have.
No. It says here the rush talks about.
Yeah. So the rush. So when we have a rush, when we have a commentary to the rush that he's quoting, it's brought to us via another rishon. We don't have on the page itself. We don't have a rush. Okay. So anyway. So but. The Rush asks the following question, which is based on a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma in Daf Lametes says that the hinges of the door of the Heichal was only heard 8 Tchum Shabbos, meaning Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 Amos, and so the hinges creaked when opening, and so they only creaked 8 Tchum Shabbos. So Tchum Shabbos is 2,000, 8 times 2 is 16,000 Amos. 16,000 Amos is not going to get us to Yericho. It's not going to get us to Yericho. 2,000 Amos is approximately a kilometer. Approximately.
80,000.
Huh?
Amos to Yericho.
It's 80. 80. Point being, 16 is not going to get us to Yericho. Right? So, how our Mishnah, huh? So you can say guzma. The only reason why it's difficult to say that is because we already highlighted what is a guzma in the Mishnah, and this is not one of the things that's mentioned as a guzma. I don't think it's heretical to suggest it's guzma, but the Gemara already had the discussion of what is and what isn't a guzma, and this didn't make the list. Right. The Rush says, now again, the Rush is not quoted over here, the Rush is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes. The Rush makes the suggestion that the sound traveled via tunnels. Right. Tunnels, he quotes the Rush over there?
Yeah, there were tunnels back then.
He mentions in the notes. Yeah. Okay, so the Rush is quoted saying that there were tunnels that went all the way to Yericho, and the sound that we're talking about here in our Mishnah is the sound that's traveling through the tunnels dug up by Chizkiyahu. Okay? What else can you hear in Yericho? And this is also why, another reason why it doesn't sound like a guzma, because we're going to describe now a whole bunch of things. But it is strange, though. In other words, sound traveling 30 miles, it's difficult. So, Miricha Yushamin Kol Shar HaGadol Shenifetach, Miricha Yushamin Kol Magrefa. Now, Magrefa is a shovel. They had an instrument back then that kind of looked like a shovel. It's called a Magrefa, and apparently they can hear that. Skip the parentheses. Miricha Hayushamim Kol Ben Arazam Mekish Batsiltzel. The cymbals were very loud. You can hear in Yericho. Miricha Hayushamim Kol Achalil. You hear the flute in Yericho. Miricha Hayushamim Kol Gvine Cruz. Gvini, who woke everyone up in the morning. They heard him in Yericho. Miricha Hayushamim Kol Esha Asabok Ben Ketin Mukhni. Le Kior. The wheel that turned the Kior. You can hear that in Yericho. Miricha Hayushamim Kol Ashir. You heard the Levim sing all the way in Yericho. Miricha Yushomai Kol HaShofar, you're able to hear the shofar that was blown. V'yeshomai Maf Kol Shal Kon Gadol B'Shal Shu Masker Sashem Yom HaKippurim. Now, hard to imagine, but the Mishnah says it, and so we have to understand the Mishnah on a certain level, that you were able to even hear the Kon Gadol say the Shem HaMeforash all the way to Yericho. Miricha Yomarichin Rech Pitam HaKitaris, that you were able to smell the burning of the Ketores. Amar Abi Allah ben Diglai Izim Hayu La'aba Be'areya Mechaver. My father had goats in the city of Mechaver. Don't ask, I don't know. Vayu Me'atshos Me'reach Pitama Ketores. But they smell the Reach Ketores and they sneeze on account of that. Misha Zach B'tamid Mashkev HaHolech Be'Veis HaMitbachayim. Now you would then go to the Beis HaMitbachayim. Where is that? To the north of the Mizbech. Of course, it's to the north. Remember, the Talmud is a carbon ola. Olas need to be shechted in the north. Umishezach be'evarn holchinimo. Ubeisam mitbacham ha'ilu tzfarn shal mizbech. Va'alav ches amudim nanasim. 8 short pillars. Nanas in modern Hebrew is a dwarf. 8 short pillars. And there were blocks, cedar blocks on top of that. And there were iron hooks. The gimel sedarim lechol echav echad, three hooks on every one. Shabahem tolan mafshitin umafshitin, and they would hang the animal on the hook so that they could flay the animal. Remember, the carbon ola gets flayed, and the skins go to the kohanim. Al shulchan shoshai shebein amudim umisha zacha b'tisha mezbecha panim nichnas v'natalas v'tni v'inichu lefanav v'ayuchofein v'nosen l'socha. And then the person who would sweep away—we're kind of like jumping around over here. The person who would sweep the ashes of the Mizbech HaPanimi would sweep the ashes onto the basket, and he would leave it right next to the Mizbech HaPanimi. He would come back later. Now, when he would go and remember, there were seven lights to the menorah, two of them would still be lit. Two of the western ones would be lit. Now, how do the menorah face? East, west, north, south? Machlokas. Let's assume our Mishnah over here is describing an east-west configuration. So the ones that were the most west would still be lit. So in other words, five are out, two are still lit. So the Kohen would clean out the five that were extinguished and the two that were remaining remained. Now, if he finds that they were extinguished, so he would clean it, light it, and then afterwards, medashin sashar, then afterwards he would clean out the rest. The Evan Haisalif Neha Menorah. And there was a stone in front of the menorah. You would clean out, put all the ashes into the kuz, put the kuz down on the second of the third step, of the three steps, and he would leave, and now we're ready for more action. Ad Kan, third parak of Masechta Tamid. We continue tomorrow with the fourth parak. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zakh Tzolfi, Chachir, Mem Torah, Mitzvah, Shanem, Arnei, Chavitz, Masiko, Yagdil, Torah, V'yadir.